Hello, and welcome to the Healing Dreams Project, exploring projective dreamwork for your health and wholeness with hosts Billy Ortiz and Dr. Royce Fitz. I'm the producer, Viviana, and today we will explore Julie Tara.
In the stillness of the heart lies a vast lake, unfathomable in its emptiness and full of promise. A pebble dropped into this pool would send ripples resounding into the night sky, wobbling the stars in their positions. A pebble dropped into this pond would echo the longing of every child's soul for home, bringing dreams of peace. Who awaits your presence here? Only the beloved. The one who drops the pebble is the pool. The one who celebrates remembrance, who dances in the totality of being. The one who always loves you.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
We just heard poetry by Julie Tara. Julie's first career was as a professional ballet dancer with the Royal Ballet in England and the Dutch National Ballet in Holland. Her second career has been as a practitioner, teacher, and business owner in the field of energy wellness. Julie joined the Japanese health and wellness company, Nikken, as an entrepreneur and became the fastest woman to reach the highest leadership rank of Royal Diamond Consultant. Now, as Nikken's International Wellness Ambassador, it is her joy to teach on a living, vibrant life, especially via her podcast called Inspiring Our World. Julie is the author of the book Songs of Gaia, Devotional Poems to Nourish the Heart, and as a keynote speaker, leadership coach, lifelong dreamer, and mother of three. Julie lives in Boulder, Colorado, basking in the creative power of the Rocky Mountains. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be here with you all. I'm excited about this.
Thank you for coming today. And I was just talking to Royce before we got started, and we're both familiar with your dreams. And we know that Julie has a history of dreaming very magical images. So I'm excited to meet her dream today.
Thanks, Billy.
So when you're ready.
Okay.
Julie, yeah, we can just dive right in.
Super. So I call this dream Soul Swan. And I dreamt it on November 20th of 2022. Well, that's a lot of twos. So I'm with many people by sacred pools and rivers in India, I think. I'm with someone, a child, I think, and we go exploring further away from the others by a big wide river. There are ducks and or geese, soft reeds, and sandy areas to walk, sit, and to swim from. I am swimming at one point, laughing and splashing around. I help the child to come in and swim and play with me. Now I'm in an ancient temple. There's no roof, it's open to the sky. There's a long, slow procession of disciples or devotees. I'm skipping across the inner grounds. I'm laughing and feeling free. I cut into the procession playfully. No one seems to mind. Many of the people are holding a miniature statue of a little like Hindu god or goddess, and they're holding it to their heart. And so as they move around the circumference of the temple, they're going to each put their statue into one of the sacred pools, and there are several of those around. Everyone walks by an old man. He seems weary. he's sitting with a huge basket or barrel of these tiny statues in front of him. As the people walk by him, he hands a statue to the ones who don't have one yet, or they take one out of the basket directly. I'm not quite sure. When I reach him, I stop and we look into each other's eyes. I pick up a little statue out of the basket, Krishna with his flute, I think it is. Or maybe he gives it to me. I hold it to my heart, like everyone else is doing. I'm skipping again, and I run happily to one of the furthest and biggest long rectangular sacred pools. I see three swans in the middle, close together. Two of them are younger cygnets. They're light brownish in color. One of them is big and glistening, very bright white. I choose him and immediately climb down the few steps into the water and purposefully wade out to meet this swan. Suddenly, he rises out of the water, opening his huge wings, and flies fast directly towards me. I'm really startled. I'm not sure if he's going to attack me or not. And I'm almost knocked over by his power as he makes contact with my body. I try to grab his beak unsuccessfully in case he intends to bite me. I feel his big chest against mine and his huge wings. They're sort of coming around me, sort of folding around me. Suddenly, he speaks to me in a firm, clear, very commanding voice. He says, "Music is at the heart of your soul, and you are focusing on numbers." End of dream.
Wow.
I have to tell you guys, I woke up literally feeling him right there, like as if I was in his embrace. I mean, it was so palpable that I was really shocked. And I just was thinking, have I just been wrestling with an angel or embraced by an angel? Right. Or what just happened? Because I'm feeling him right here, you know, as I woke up. So it's intense.
I'm familiar with your dreams, but this one has topped, I think, all the ones I've heard before. I mean, I've heard some incredibly magical dreams from you over the years, Julie. One thing I wanted to say to our listeners is, first of all, this is a pretty detailed dream. And so it can get overwhelming when listening to a long dream, but everybody gets to hear the part that works for them and what stands out. So that's what we'll do is we'll, see we may not be able to cover everything in this dream during our session today, but we'll be able to look at different symbols here and just the general feel of the dream too. So the swan says to me, "Music is at the heart of your soul and you have been focusing on numbers."
Yes.
Wow.
And the only word I'm not sure is the word "at." It could have been "music is the heart of your soul," but I don't remember. And I should, because it was so kind of loud and clear and strong, but it was one or other. "Music is the heart of your soul," or "music focusing on numbers."
Can I hear the part about Krishna? Of course, that stood out for me.
Yes.
I hold Krishna to my heart.
Yeah, I pick up a little statue out of the basket. Krishna with his flute, I think. Or maybe the man gives it to me. I really don't remember. You know, it's a dream. Here at home, I looked in, I have lots of little things at home, but I have a little dancing Ganesha, but he's like tiny. He's like tiny, right? Like that. So it was like that, but a little bit bigger, you know, a little bit bigger. Mm. So But I seem to remember it being Krishna because of this shape of him playing the flute.
And that's music.
Yes.
I have a question. In the dream, I think I'm in India. And I'm not sure, or...
You know, as I did a little research afterwards, because I really was curious about these sacred pools, I saw images of the temples, those open temples, and it was definitely India. Mm-hmm. It was just definitely India. And the pools are called Sarovars. And they're like sacred pools where you go to bathe and wash away your karma, something like that.
Is everyone Indian in the dream except me?
I don't know. I know they were disciples and there were men and women, I think, and they were all just lined up and they were in robes. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they were.
Am I in a robe?
No, I don't think so, because I'm skipping. I'm unimpeded. I don't know what I'm wearing, but it's not down to my feet. I know I'm barefoot, bare-legged. So I'm in some kind of, I don't know what, short tunic or something.
How old am I?
I have no idea. I don't know. 30s, 40s, I don't know. I'm an adult for sure. I'm not a kid and I'm not in my 20s. I'm older than that. And yeah, just, I don't know.
So there was a part at the beginning mentioning helping a child. I'm standing at the sandy shore of one of the pools, and I wrote down there's ducks and geese. And I'm swimming at some point, and then I help a child. So can you tell us more about what happens in that scene?
Yeah. So even at the beginning, it starts with I'm with someone. I think it's a child. And then we start going exploring further away. Then I'm swimming at one point and splashing around, and I help the child come in and swim and play with me. I think... You're going to ask, is a girl or a boy? Well, see, I don't know. I'm so sorry.
Like any idea about age, like toddler or older?
I would say somewhere like 7 to 9, somewhere in that. Not like super tall, not definitely not toddler, definitely not too young.
But non-gender specific.
Yeah.
Okay. And because everybody's kind of in these silky robes, and so there's no way to tell by clothing or anything either, because everybody's wearing kind of
the people clothes. The disciples, that comes in the next part of the dream, so at this point they
I see.
Were other people, but I don't remember any any kind of robes or anything.
So as the dreamer, after I help the child, then suddenly I'm in the temple. I go into the temple, which I say is open at the top. Is it?
Yes. No. It's just like a perimeter, really. It's just a sort of big rectangular perimeter of temple pillars. Mm-hmm. And there's, no top. I don't think there was ever a top.
Right. In my dream... There's something important about that scene of helping the child, which seems to guide the rest of the images of the dream. I don't know exactly what to do with that yet, but it seems to be an important piece. So that's what's popping out for me. So go ahead, Royce. Sorry.
I may have forgotten, but in this dream, there does seem to be a kind of a flow from beginning to end. I know I was going to ask has the dreamer ever been to India?
No, I never have. Mm. Although I do resonate with some of the Hindu imagery and also Tibetan imagery. I mean, I think with my last name, Tara, she's, Tibetan goddess of compassion. So I've sort of I have tankas in my home. I have statues of Tara and also of Sarasvati and some others.
So I think for me, this needs to be honored, lifted up, that I have a spiritual, psychological connection with aspects of Indian life and spirituality. So this helps me because in my waking self, I'm not just inventing something that is so random beautifully outrageous. The dream starts with me. The dream starts with acknowledging my deep connection with what I know as a major aspect of Indian spirituality and location, geographic location. That feels important to lift this up and say that.
Yeah.
So, and if I can, I don't want to intrude on other people's. So this dream, there are so many elements, and as Billy encourages the listener to go off into their own attractions to the dream and in their own projections, because it's such a huge dream with many elements. So what I am listening for are the elements that aren't as dramatic in the dream, and it's like the sand along this beach, along the sacred pool, this man who is making sure all of us who are here, and in my projection, I'm kind of on a pilgrimage, that all of us have a kind of a statue to hold, and that we always place it near our heart.
Yes, yes.
So this is like a preparation in my projection. I'm being prepared. Even the child, and I get a goosebump as I reflect about the child. It is my calling to play with the child, to invite the child into the water. The karma, that's a word that doesn't necessarily easily come in my vocabulary to express. And so the karma, I'm washing karma away, perhaps, with the child, that the child and I may be reflecting a part of each other.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Very good. I think so. You know, I definitely felt close to the child and wanting to encourage the child to get out into the river. And the sandy bit was super small. It was not like a big beach or anything. It was just a little bit there, but it was sort of fertile with these reeds and these waterfowl, you know, the geese or ducks or whatever. It was a little rich part. I felt like it was a big river though. It was like, you know, like the Ganges or something like that, you know. It was a big, but it was peaceful. It wasn't scary to get in.
Well, what I see now is that this isn't a pristine beach. This is an earthy beach. There are waterfowl there. There are weeds, perhaps grass growing in the water. And that feels important. I could have made in my dream a beautiful, pristine, you know, white beach, et cetera, et cetera. This is a very earthy beach and along the river, which seems very normal and very natural. That feels important. And then this man who feels like an important entity in the dream world, in the spirit world, making sure all of us have these little statues. So I'm he is saying to me in my projection, I cannot fully experience that to which I am called unless I have this symbol, this metaphor that I hold deeply to my heart. And so he feels like he's from the spirit world, a sort of a gatekeeper that the opposite is, what if I would have ignored him and just bypassed his, I think this would have been, in my projection, of great offense to the powers that be.
Yes, yes. And there was sort of no way to ignore him, because every single person, and it was a long, long procession, had to go past him, you know. And many of them had the little symbol, you know, the little deity holding it to their heart, but a few, some didn't. And that's where he made sure they did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the objective was to go to the pools and throw it in.
That's... I see Viviana's hand or something.
Yeah. Viviana, go ahead.
This is just such a beautiful dream for me. It just so resonates on so many levels. Going back to what I said before, Krishna, you know, the reeds that come up in the beginning, the flute is made of a reed, or the initial flutes were made of reeds. Mm-hmm. And the tying in with the last statement, music is at the heart of your soul. So music is at the heart of my soul. And the old man is handing the Krishna, who plays the flute, to those who don't have one yet. So he handed me one, I think, or maybe I grabbed it. So it's almost like it's doubling the fact that music is at the heart of my soul. And the fact that November 20th, 2022, there were three swans, two younger ones. Two is the high priestess in the tarot. I very much resonate with a high priestess symbol as a goddess, as goddess of music, as the goddess of dance, as the goddess of the arts, in this, very much struck also with the fact that there's so much joy throughout that I'm feeling. When I'm swimming, I'm laughing and splashing around. There's the child that's with me, or part of me, or reflecting me. We're just, and there's this ancient temple. It's just, I'm just exuding this goddess energy that's coming through. Along with this carefreeness, this just almost bliss, I feel. It's like in a way, it's also affirming the fact that I am a goddess and feeling bliss and projecting bliss in my world. And at the same time, the big message at the end, where I would ask the dreamer, music is at the heart of my soul, and I'm focusing on numbers. What does that bring up for me as the dreamer, specifically?
Yeah, well, when I woke up, I felt like it was a loving reprimand. You know, it was just like, hey, what are you doing? You're over here instead of over here. And I've definitely been concerned about finances. I haven't been feeling super joyful, skippy, happy in my life. I haven't been playing music for a long time. I do dance and I work out and I do, you know, gyrotonics, which is sort of a dance type thing. I can never not do that, but for whatever reason, I put away, you know, I have a piano behind me and I haven't been playing it. I have a clarinet that I haven't played for a long time. So I felt like it was just like a redirection, like just stop worrying, like trust abundance, trust life, trust that you're supported, which I haven't been, and just kind of, you know, refocus. And I have taken some actions. I have definitely taken some actions since this dream, because it was so powerful. One was that I got a little swan to, you know, to look at, a white swan from the toy shops, a little plastic white swan. And I took my clarinet in, and it's being repaired and refurbished so that I can start playing just for myself, even not necessarily to join a quintet or something, although maybe one day. And today, actually, I started playing the piano a little bit for the first time in months and months and months. Mm-hmm. So those are some positive, kind of just really objective actions that I'm taking. Yeah.
It's so rare that the dream comes and says, this is what gives me the clear instructions. And then as a dreamer, I take action. Because, you know, wouldn't it be easier if our dreams did say that often and say, like, this is the, Billy, this is what you need to do right now. And then, oh, right. Okay. So, you know, because everything's always so wrapped up in metaphor. What I wanted to say about the little statues that everyone is holding next to their heart. Some have them and some don't. I think about the practice of namaste. And the idea that the light of God within me salutes the light of God within you. So there's some piece of how we're all connected with that, regardless of our gender, our background, our race, our religion, whatever. We're all connected by that divine spark. And I'm not sure what to do with the ones that don't have it, though. And the guy gives it to them, though. So it's almost like this. Like, I liked Royce's projection on this man, this kind man that is handing out the statues. That he's the gatekeeper. He's the one that helps everyone to remember that spark is within. It's like, oh right, oh yeah, sure. And I think that might be in my version. That's probably the ambiguity of, like, either I grab it or he gives it to me. I don't know which, you know? So there's this feeling of, like, it's already been there, though. See, that's the metaphor in my version of the dream. It was there all along. So it's a reminder. It's, and I love that you bought the little swan to honor the dream too, because I think that's a really powerful thing to do. Even if whatever it is, if I've told people that have dreamt about bears, go get a little bear if or whatever it might be, because it's just a reminder that it's always with me, and it always has been. I just sometimes forget. And maybe that's why that sometimes it feels like the people don't have it, because, oh yeah, right, I forgot. So in my dream, there's still that the swan is giving me that precious gift of, like, I already have it. It's already within it. I don't need to keep seeking out and look and as focusing on numbers. There is that divine. And the more that I, as the dreamer, play music, the more that light will increase and brighten within, and I'll be reminded of it.
Yes. Yes. That definitely resonates. You know, it's interesting too, because what's coming up is when I was little in Cambridge, one of my favorite things to do was go sit by the River Cam, which is not a big river. It's significant enough, but it's not a wide river. And I would sit with the swans. I would sit under the willow trees and I would sit with the swans and talk with the swans. There was a little island called Swan Island. And I just loved the swans. There was just something about them that was just so lovely for me. And and the more I feel into the child at the beginning of the dream, the more I feel like it was a girl. Mm-hmm. But not like girly, just a girl, but, you know, fairly androgynous, you know, like just kind of the key thing was she was a child. But as I'm feeling into it deeper with you, I'm feeling, yeah, it was a girl. But not a girly girl.
Sitting with the swans just reminds me of Swan Lake and the fact that the dreamer later became a ballerina.
Yes, and I loved Swan Lake. I was one of the little swans in Swan Lake. It's a, you know, it's a lovely, it's, you know, four of you. It's fast. It's actually really difficult. It's a very difficult dance because your legs just go numb because it's so fast. And but I always loved it. I loved the feathers, the real feathers, which were always real feathers in your headdress, real feathers in your tutu. And I always felt like a swan when I did it. I felt like I morphed into a swan.
Wow. So, sorry.
I was just going to say that's one of those examples of something I was dealing with in my group yesterday was that there's a better like a universal version of every symbol, and then there's a very personal association with every symbol too. So I thank you for sharing that story, because that's a good example of this. You know, we could have just gone on talking about swans without knowing that, oh, at some point I felt like I transformed into a swan as the dancer of swan in Swan Lake. So it's like so why I would imagine that's why the swan would show up in my dream.
Yes, I just think they're so elegant and graceful and really powerful. As children, we were always warned, like, be careful of the swans because they can break your arm with a, you know, with their wing.
Yeah.
You know, but I never felt really scared of them, but I was super respectful of them. I never encroached too close on their space because often they were nesting on Swan Island, which is a tiny, tiny little island. It was just a little in the river. So yeah, I always felt that, but I would just sit under the tree and just sort of talk to them.
Mm.
In my heart.
Beautiful.
For those of us that have only seen swans from a long distance, as in pictures or, you know, at parks, and I'm hearing the dreamer describe the more intimate understanding of swans and how, you know, their elegance and beauty to me is disarming, that, you know, they are not harmful. And the reality is they can be harmful. If they are threatened or their babies are threatened, they will attack, and their attack is so fierce. And they know how to use their wings as an offense and as a defense that will cause damage to another being. And so that's a beautiful, for me, a kind of a beautiful awareness in this dream, that I am beautiful and I'm elegant and I am fierce and I am protective and I can do damage if called upon, for a higher purpose. So I'm wondering about myself in this dream, about how do I need to use my swan energy in a way that is fierce and challenging and aggressive. The swan in my dream, I assume, sort of flies to me and bumps me breast to breast, chest to chest, heart to heart, and confronts me. So in my imagination, this is a powerful realignment message. I need to be realigned. And I still, so music and math, I think you all who are better at both than I am, they're related. Correct. And so why is the swan saying to me, I've been focusing on numbers, my heart is really music, but it's the same thing. I mean, my layperson reaction is to, you know, I'm very puzzled about this. And this is where I'm wondering if the message I hear is not the message that I am needing to explore and process. What if numbers and music are meaning something else? Not because the dream is trying to confuse me and, you know, speak in code, yet the shock of what's happening, I'm so startled. I'm wondering if I need to be attuned, you know, in the musical sense, to my soul in a way that is, there's a surprising message in this challenge about numbers and in this challenge about music.
Yeah, I always remember hearing about, you know, that Einstein was a violinist as well as, you know, such a great scientist, and that connection of music and numbers. And I know when I studied, you know, music, harmony and counterpoint with the idea of maybe composing, I found it really challenging because I'm not very good with numbers. I'm not terrible with numbers, but I'm not great with numbers. And there was so much, I mean, you would know, Viviana. I mean, it was just so complicated that I was just like, oh my gosh, maybe I just play. But, you know, I always thought composing would be a wonderful thing. But I mean, you can just take a look at, you know, Mozart or, of course, you know, Bach fugues or Beethoven, and that brilliance of the science, you know, with the music and the harmonies is extraordinary, left and right brain for sure, combined.
Leonardo da Vinci, who is an artist, we know him best as an artist and you know, very sort of scientific for his day. He was first a musician. He played, I think, some sort of lute. So, and my flute teacher used to always say, yes, we're speaking the language of music, but we have to also use the brain and get the number part of it all right as well. So it's the best musician is the one who can combine the two and marry the two together brilliantly.
I love that. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, because Da Vinci is such an inspiration. I didn't know that.
I didn't either. I was just reading his notebooks, though, but I realized a couple weeks ago.
Right.
So this dream has, again, this elegant flow to a dream. I want to call the dream a person for some reason. A flow to her, and every element is important to have in the sequence that the dream offers, and so where the dream begins and where the dream ends, so I don't know where to go with that except to lift this up, that feels very important. And there's a kind of a spiritual / philosophical wrestling match that I have because of this dream, and this is my projection. Numbers are very, very difficult for me, and the way I would overfocus on numbers is to avoid them, which means at some level I'm focusing way too much on numbers. And also this piece about this is my projection again. I worry so much about numbers in the waking world, like how to pay the bills, how to save for this, how to do this, blah, blah, blah. And those are important concerns and worries. And it almost seems like that's too easy for me to focus on again in the dream, because I do get obsessed this way. Again, this is my stuff. And then I lose the sense of beauty and magic, the sense of spirituality that other aspects of my soul are trying to highlight. So, and I'm thinking out loud, obviously. So when I look at what this challenge is from this amazing bird that challenges me. It's to look at my anxiety. How do I distort my callings with my normal and abnormal experience of anxiety in my being? And I do that. I get sidetracked by anxiety, by worrying in tiny ways and in huge ways, whether it's, you know, that I believe that nuclear explosions are going to happen and sometime in the near future, which I dread, and I also worry about my paycheck. You know, so it's the big and little things that I allow to take me away from my awareness of the deeper callings that are way beyond the importance of whether any of this stuff happens.
You know, it's so interesting because as you're speaking, I'm thinking, you know, for 23 years, I was very focused on numbers with, you know, with building a huge Nikan business. And that's a lot of numbers every month. And you got to get the numbers right and in the right places. And I was actually really good at it. In that way, I was good at numbers. But if you give me an arithmetic problem to solve, I'm like, oh, I don't know. But with that, it had a huge focus on numbers. And I think I just wanted to make a shift and wanted to move away from that. And yet not making the same income that I was making when I was focusing on the numbers, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it's just interesting paradox or conundrum of, I think, bringing it all together, as mm-hmm. you say, you know, those different aspects. Yeah. I just, you know, at this age, I, you know, I'm 66 and I really don't want to kind of miss the key focus of my life. And, you know, when I was in ballet full on, I did want to become a clarinetist. And my mom said, oh, you're so far along with ballet, which was true. Just keep going with the ballet because, you know, because I was almost there at the company, in the company at that point, almost, not quite. I was 14. And I remember feeling really disheartened. And I've been reading this book, The Genius Myth, by Michael Mead, whom I really enjoy. And he's talking about how we all have our, you know, key talents, and they often come at the age of sort of, I think he said like 9 to 11, somewhere in there. So I've been thinking about that. I'm just like, well, I knew I loved ballet. I started at 3, but at 9, I got really focused to do it professionally. I started the clarinet at 9. I was teaching myself piano from younger, and writing came up a lot during those at 9, 10 years old. So, you know, I've just been just like, how does it come together so that I make sure that during this lifetime I bring it, you know? And I think I've just lost a lot of confidence, and I feel like I've been in a cocoon for a few years, and I'm restless, and I want to get out of the cocoon, and I want to fly, but I'm not sure that I have the confidence to do some of the things I'd like to do. So I decided this year I would write a fairy tale. That's just one thing I've committed to, is writing a fairy tale and using, you know, my autobiographical life as, you know, template for that, and play clarinet and piano.
And compose.
And compose. Right. I love to compose songs. I would love to.
Well, you can. This is the dream that's telling me that. I see it.
The dream is telling me that. It's easy to not use the word I. Yeah. So I, you know, you know, watching you, and those that are going to watch this on YouTube, they, you know, to see Julie's enlightenment, the energy when the dreamer was sharing those new goals at 66 and on. I would call them more than goals. It feels like callings. Mm-hmm. That this is how I want to spend the next 66 years. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Thanks for all that, Julie. And thank you for sharing that. It's amazing what the dreams open up for us. You know, often when we're talking about it, it's like, oh, right, there's that. And it's like, they're always encouraging us to move towards our authentic self and help us to remember forgotten talents or remember things that we've had to put aside or are forgotten about. And I keep coming back to this image about the people carrying the little statue to the heart. I mean, that one is just really resonating for me. And then they take it and put the statue in the pool, right?
Yes.
So there's some sort of sacrifice there. It's like taking that spark, as I had my version of it, was that representing the spark of the divine within me. And I'm taking that I'm giving a sacrifice to the divine. Here I am. Here's me. In my humbleness, I come and I give what I have. And it also makes me think about how we all are individual sparks incarnated. But then when we pass away, we all become one within the pool. So it's like, is this a reminder that we're all going to return back to the same place we came from? And because this comes in the imagery of India, in my version as the dreamer, this is, and I even mentioned the Ganges is where we wash away the karma. So this is a place of letting go, sacrifice, remembering that we're all one.
I love that.
Yeah, that really speaks to me. Julie, were you going to say something?
No, I just said I love that. I love that.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly right.
Yeah, we're all going to die. And very few of us have much information about what that will look like and when. And yet the dream is saying to me, I'm going to die. And at 66 or whatever age I am, which is a tad bit more. It's like Billy used the word authenticity. The dream does not want me to die without deeper and more full authenticity. And that's where, when I was I'm a little embarrassed, but I was talking about my anxiety about life and how my anxiety gets in my way from relaxing and being with the music, with the calling, with the flow of my being and the being of the world, the beings and being of the world. So that's really inspires me that I have to have a slam of a wake-up call by this elegant spiritual being that hits me breast to breast, heart to heart, to recall me, to remember me, to be more of who I am and my gift to the world. And I don't have to be beautiful. That's not the point. I have to be authentic in order to die well. And that is what I feel like this dream is challenging me to be awake to. Dream to become real, more authentic. And again, I need to underline, this is a dream of aging in my projection. How then do I want to live the rest of my life?
I'm reminded that I have wings. That's why the big swan wraps. I even wake up as the dreamer and I say, whoa, I felt this palpable feeling, this embrace from this magical swan god. And I even say it felt like an angel. So in my version of the dream, this is an inner protector, very strong. And as Royce was saying before, and I as the dreamer, as Julie, I'm saying, watch out for the swans. They're pretty fierce. They represent this paradox of elegant graceful beauty and don't mess with me. I had one encounter with a swan at some point. We were in a paddle boat. This was many years ago, and they had all these swans around on the lake. And we thought, oh, how lovely and idyllic. And then, of course, there was the swan that started coming up and started just like biting at us. I mean, it was just like, and I thought, what is that? And I looked down, and it's the swan was just like, get out of my pond, get out of my pond. And I was surprised. I was very surprised. And we had to actually like escape from the swan. So yes, I've had experiences of where don't mess with them. So I think as the dreamer, if I can hold that in my heart of like, that's me, I can fly. And I can be elegant and graceful. And I can also be fierce and strong and determined.
I really love that. I love that combination. And I think I have definitely lost some of that, that fighting spirit that I used to have a lot. I think just a lot of disappointments and just kind of like there's sort of a bit of a why bother, or, you know, can't do it again, rise to that level, you know, things like that.
Sure.
A loss of autonomy, I think. You know what's also really funny? I just have to say, I actually bought two of these little white swans because they do mate for life, and I would love to meet, you know, my right mate. And so I did just join eHarmony a couple of days ago, and I thought, oh, that's so funny. It's called Harmony, eHarmony, and I just thought, yeah, that feels right. I think because it's got that word in it, and because it's so comprehensive, I'm going to join that one, and so I did. You know. Because that's also another part that just has not been working out. And I long for that.
Yeah.
Well, and if this were my dream, I think part of the channel to gaining that is through the laughing and splashing around and the skipping and feeling free. And it's also the antidote, me as a musician, as a performer, to when I'm feeling a loss of confidence, I have to focus on the power and turn the fear into a power and just slay it that way. So I think the dream for me very clearly says, you know, focus on what brings me joy, on the bliss, and all will unfold. A little cliche, but...
I'll take it. I love that. Absolutely. I think that's true, which goes back to being authentic, the authenticity, and really just doing the things that are so joyful for me, which, you know, music has always been one of those things from when I was really super little. But my mother was a pianist and singer and actress, and my dad was a jazz trumpet player before he became a doctor. So I had both of them. And all their music, and they were so proficient. I think it was also very daunting. Because I can remember playing with my mother, and she played the piano part, and I played the clarinet from, you know, Mozart clarinet concerto, and then she would criticize me a lot. And I was, you know, little, 10, 11, 12, and it was hard. It wasn't really fun.
Yeah, I played clarinet when I was 9. As well. And my mom was a pianist as well.
Oh my gosh.
But I think that's why I chose the flute. I played the piano before, and, uh-huh. and I felt that criticism as well. So I understand that. I resonate with that.
Yeah. She and was a very tough act to follow.
Yeah, it would be a kind of a risk of becoming perfectionistic in a not healthy way. In my dream, I can be that way, and then that takes the joy out of my creativity and spark.
Absolutely. And then you get a lot of that in ballet, a lot of criticism. The culture is one of criticism more than anything, and disrespect.
Classical music too. Yeah,
yeah, I'm sure. I mean, that's why I left, because the culture was so just terrible, disrespectful.
Does this feel like a place to bring this maybe to an arbitrary close? Is there any other part of the dream that you wish us to look at, or anything else that you feel like you want to express or say about your dream?
No, I'm so grateful. I think it's wonderful to share this dream with you because it has made such an impact on me. And I like looking at the different aspects of it. Of course, there's the very obvious swan song thing.
Yeah,
you know, that of course, right. I thought of right away when I first looked at it, when I first dreamt it, you know, when I woke up, it's like, huh, okay, you know, what would that be?
Right. So let's go to. So thank you, Julie, so much. And thank you very much for sharing your poem at the beginning. That was lovely.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, I'd like to write another book. I have a lot more poems than this that aren't in there. But yeah, Songs of Gaia, it's on Amazon. And very nature oriented.
That's beautiful. So Julie, what's your website if anyone would like to get in touch with you?
It's just julietara.com. Very simple.
And you have a podcast as well. What do you like to feature on your podcast?
Well, the podcast is really specific with the position I have as wellness ambassador for Nikan. So it's called Inspiring Our World. And it's really focused on health specifically. It's once a week. It's in about 16 countries right now. And but it has the Nikan name on it, even though I'm the creator of it. Yeah. I'm thinking to start up one of my other podcasts again, because I did start a couple of them, but you know, myself, and one of them is Radiant Wisdom of the Mystics, where I was reading sacred texts. And so I have some books here right now, actually, that I'm looking to dip into, to just reinvigorate that podcast. And then I had have another one, The Adventures of the Awakened Heart. And those were stories of transformation. And that was much more broad, you know, with anyone and everyone. Like, I'd love to have all three of you do one with me. So I might reinstate that as well. Wow. That's the lovely thing about podcasts, is you can take a break and then you can come back to them.
Well, all those titles sound like something I would follow for sure.
Thank you.
I hope you do reinstate them.
Thanks.
Well, as we wrap things up, I would like to ask Dr. Fitz about how we can get in touch with you.
Well, you can reach me at roycefitz.com. And I am a spiritual counselor and dream worker. This version of the podcast today kind of reminded me of some of my journey and what I invite others to do in their own work and in the realm of spiritual counseling. It is what are our heart's deepest values? And are we expressing our heart's deepest values and moving more and more towards authentic life? Because each phase of our life has different struggles and different meanings and different challenges. I also believe that as we do that, paying attention to our dreams will definitely open up doors. And perhaps I think all of us will be bumped in the chest by this elegant swan that is calling us in some way, our own way, to live authentically.
Beautiful. And Billy Ortiz, wakeuptoyourdreams.com.
Yes.
Tell us about what's going on over there.
Well, I offer private dream sessions, and I also have two groups, that one that meets in the evening and one that meets in the afternoons, and all the schedules up on my website under the calendar, wakeuptoyourdreams.com. I also mentor and help train people to become dream workers themselves. So I'm starting another round with the Rocky Mountain Institute of Projective Dreamwork, and all the information is available on my website, wakeuptoyourdreams.com.
Fabulous. Well,
and you, Viviana.
Oh, me. Well, I'm Viviana Guzman. My website is viviana.org. and I'm a musician, and my website for my other side, my astrology tarot dream side, is viviana.org/magic. You, the listener, we would love to hear from you. So please call our dreamer hotline, which is 720-573-9195. Once again, 720-573-9195. We would love it if you shared the episode or liked it and tell your friends about it. We are on iHeartRadio, Pandora, Instagram. Royce is on TikTok. We're on Instagram. We're everywhere.
Spotify. Yeah. Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Yeah.
YouTube. Wherever you're listening and tuning in, we would appreciate a share and sharing with your friends as well as we dive into the language of stories, symbols, metaphors, and archetypes. Until next time, thank you again, Julie, for joining us. And until our next episode, happy dreaming.
Thank you so much.